What does it look like to keep the faith in the face of difficult times? To not bend or break when unforeseen circumstances invade our lives? Even if the world seems turned upside down, God has a way we can stand strong, finish the race, and keep the faith. And now, here's today's host, Sheila Walsh.
You've heard the saying, keep the faith. But what does that mean for us as Christians? Hello, I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so excited about what we're going to be learning today. Dr. Jeremiah is here to share with us what it means to keep the faith, even in the most difficult circumstances and seasons. You know, maybe you're watching today and you're dealing with unexpected or unwanted circumstances. Could be problems with your health, your career, your marriage, perhaps your heart. You're discouraged, depressed, worried, and wondering if you even have the strength to keep going. If you've been in that place or in that place right now, Dr. Jeremiah would like you to know that your Heavenly Father isn't watching impassively from heaven. He has come down. He is close. And his arm is around you. He's here to lift you up and ready to move you forward. Well, Dr. Jeremiah exemplifies what he preaches, and he has experienced adversity himself. And today, he's here to encourage us to keep the faith. What a total joy it is to be with you again.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you are too. So we're talking about keeping the faith. You've written this wonderful book. But I want you to take us to that day, September the 3rd, 2023. It's Labor Day. What was going on?
Well, Don and I had just returned from Europe. We had gone there to celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And we took a little cruise around Italy. It was so much fun. We'd come home. Obviously, we were a little tired. I had preached a couple times. And Labor Day morning, I went to get out of bed, and I couldn't move anything on my right side. My leg was just dead. I was scared. I didn't know what to think. I told Donna, I can't get out of bed. I don't know what to do. So we called my son, David, and he had Bradley with him, and they came down and helped me get up and took me to Scripps Hospital in La Jolla. And I ended up staying there for over a month and was diagnosed with a disease. From what I can understand, Sheila, it's the inflammation of the sheath that goes around your spinal cord.
Oh, that's scary stuff.
And it makes it impossible then for your spinal cord to transmit signals to your certain parts of your body. The second day, on Tuesday after this happened, I'll never forget, I had four MRIs in one day.
Oh, gosh.
Through my whole body. Then they punctured my spine and took some fluid from that. They gave me a scan and then basically said the best they could tell, I had this disease. It's very rare. The longer I've had it, the more I realize not very many people know much about it.
Wow.
What I'm learning is it had a short on-ramp and it's got a long off-ramp.
So what did the process of healing look like for you?
Well, the first thing they told me was I needed to try to walk, and I started to walk the best I could. And actually, we're sitting in a room right now that's in a building where I would come every day and walk in the warehouse, walk as much as I can with a walker, to try to rebuild the strength in my legs. I got to the point where I was able to be ambulatory. Mm-hmm. Some of the systems in your body don't work and you have to try to get them back. And it was many times just on the edge of discouragement. You know, mm-hmm. I've been working at this now for months. What's going on here?
So how are you feeling today, right now? I mean, to see you, you walk in and to see you today, how are you feeling today?
Well, the first thing I'm feeling good about is I've been preaching in my church now for a couple of months, mm-hmm. three services every weekend, and God has given me the energy to do that. And it's been such a blessing because that's the joy of my life. I'm trying to stay up. I mean, there's lots of doctor's appointments. I have to go see a rehab guy twice a week. And
still?
I work with my trainer and
wow.
trying to build strength in your upper body. And but God has given me some tremendous friends, some wonderful friends who've hung in there with me and helped me do this.
I think one of the things we all love about you is that we see you as this strong, godly pastor committed to the unchanging Word of God in ever-changing times, and yet you're honest enough to be transparent
yeah.
about when it's really hard.
Let me tell you something I read, written by Spurgeon. Here's what he said. God never puts heavy burdens on weak shoulders.
Wow.
And I took that as a compliment that God had trusted me with this. I didn't have to have this. God could have kept me from it. Mm-hmm. People asked me if I was upset. You know, I said, you know, God is not unfair to me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't owe me a perfect, healthy life. And I'm learning things from this. Believe it or not, so many wonderful things happened while this was happening to me. It was kind of hard to believe.
Wow. I wondered, obviously, you know, Barry and I, my husband and I, love you so much, and we were praying for you. Could you feel the prayers of thousands, probably millions around the world?
I got prayer calls from people all over the world, and I knew people were praying for me. When you are a Christian and you go through something like this, the one major thing you realize, if you think about it, is you're not alone.
Yeah.
I never felt alone. Even in the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning when there was no nurses around or anybody, I felt the presence of the Lord, and I remembered verses of scripture that I had memorized. I was kind of in the process of trying to memorize the book of Philippians,
I
was kind of about halfway through it, so I was rehearsing that, and that just gave me such hope and confidence.
It's interesting that we would be that book.
Yeah.
A book dripping in joy while he's in prison and experiencing all sorts of adversity.
Paul made me feel like I wasn't doing anything. You know, he was really in a bad way.
You know, one of the things you kind of briefly touched on is with everything you were going through, amazing things were happening at Turning Point.
Yeah. I felt like God said to me one day, okay, David, you show me what you can do. Let me show you what I can do. I had written a book called The Great Disappearance. And that book shot to the top of all the
charts.
Fabulous
book. Yeah.
I've never had a book that made it to the top 10 on Amazon.
And stayed there.
And stayed there for many days. Mm-hmm. And that book, because of the incredible social media things that our team did here and the videos they created. We had hundreds and hundreds of people accept Christ because of the book and the videos. And we aren't really sure how many, but many, many. Mm. We sent out so many copies of our follow-up book. And so here I am feeling kind of useless and being used in a way I never could have dreamed through that book. And then we had the movie.
The movie
came out during that season in other languages.
स्वर्ग से भेजे गए एक बालक का पालन पोषण करने के लिए एक सांसारिक मनुष्य को चुना जाएगा. यहां तक कि क्रिसमस खुशी का मौसम भी दबाव का दलदल है. यीशु का जन्म क्यों? इसलिए क्योंकि मसीह का जन्म सब कुछ बदल देता है. निराशाजनक समय में आशा ला सकता है और शांति ला सकता है.
In India, in Telugu and Hindi, touched the whole nation. And Sheila, 275 million people watched that film in India.
That gives me chills.
But God used that movie, and many people came to Christ with the movie. It just seemed like I'm in the back room and I can't do a lot, and God is just moving. So, you know, looking back, it wasn't a bad time, it was just a hard time.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to talk more about what it means to keep the faith, even in difficult times.
In a world filled with uncertainty, find unwavering strength in Dr. David Jeremiah's new book, Keep the Faith, How to Stand Strong in a World Turned Upside Down. In these pages, Dr. Jeremiah empowers you to navigate life's toughest trials without losing sight of your faith, drawing wisdom from Scripture to illuminate the path toward God's blessings in your life. Request your copy of Keep the Faith, How to Stand Strong in a World Turned Upside Down, new from Dr. Jeremiah, when you give a gift of any amount in support of Turning Point today.
Welcome back. I'm Sheila Walsh. I'm here with Dr. David Jeremiah to discuss how we can keep the faith when our world turns upside down. What did that feel like the first Sunday that you were back in the pulpit?
Well, you know, I had to walk across the stage with a walker. Was so humbling, and but I did it, and I got through it, and I never fell down. I always thought, you know, the only thing left for me to do is for me to fall down in front of all these people, and I even hesitate to say it because I still have some more walking across the platform. But The day I didn't have to use the walker anymore and I walked to the pulpit without it, I got a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. It was so encouraging to me to know how much the people in our church had been pulling for me. It's been a really interesting journey. I have a lot of issues I'm still dealing with, but I kind of look at it this way. All those issues are in a car, and the whole car's moving forward. Some of these things I have to keep working on, but the car's moving forward. I am getting better, a little better all the time, and getting stronger, and still fighting some of the issues.
But what a gift you gave to everyone that day. It was like a physical example, a God's show and tell of my strength is made perfect in weakness. You could have stayed off the platform, but you didn't do that.
You don't need your legs to preach. I could still teach, and the guys built me a pulpit seat that looks like I'm standing up almost. Hmm. My wife thinks, she says, you're a lot better sitting down. It's like you're giving a fireside chat. I said, well, people are getting saved every week. It's just amazing to see how in the midst of weakness, God is strong.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that people struggle with most is fear. How do we combat that giant of fear?
People ask me, was I afraid during this time? Absolutely. First of all, I was afraid when I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, that's scary.
You know, it could have been anything, and still a lot of questions. All of the stories of the Bible that tell you that you don't, you know, fear not, for I am with you, be not afraid, for I am your God. Mm-hmm. All of those scriptures, so wonderful.
I always love the fact that it's fear not, for I am with you. It's not fear not because there's nothing to be afraid of. It's because God is with us.
And you know, the absence of fear is not courage, it's love.
Wow.
And that's a really interesting expression, you know, you're not filled with fear, but with love and a strong mind. And so love means you reach out to other people in the midst of your being afraid. You know there are others who are afraid, and you reach out to them. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I think preaching's been such a great therapy for me. I told somebody the other day, I said, when you're a pastor and you're a public figure and you're doing good, people listen to you. When you're doing bad, they watch you.
That's very true.
And so I'm doing more by what I'm doing and people watching me than if I were talking about it all the time.
What about discouragement? Did you face discouragement in this journey?
Yeah, and I'm going to confess that of all the things that can get to me, that's one that has a little bit more of an upper hand than some others. Yeah. What I've realized, Sheila, is every day is a challenge for me. And there's some good things and some hard things. And I try to do my best to meet the challenges of the day, sleep at night, and take the next day. And realize, I was just telling Donna this today, you don't get to do just the things you feel like doing. Mm-hmm. You have to do the things that need to be done.
That's a good lesson for every single one of us.
It is indeed.
Yeah. One of the things that Mary and I prayed for you and for Donna was this area of worry, because I thought, I know Donna has to be worried about you. And knowing you, I know you have to be worried about Donna.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
You know, I got to tell you, she's one of the most incredible people.
She is.
I'll be honest with you, I've never met anybody like her. She takes care of me, and I constantly am saying, honey, I wish you didn't have to do that. And she keeps telling me it's a privilege. She said, you took care of me when I was sick. Now it's my turn, and you need to let me do this.
Yeah.
I don't think we worry a lot about each other now. We just help each other the best we can. We are going through this like we have done everything in our life. We're going through it together.
Yeah. What a beautiful example of 60 years of marriage committed one to the other.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Right.
I love the words you assigned to worry. I read this and I thought, this is good. Worry is inconsistent, irrational, ineffective, illogical, and irreligious.
Yeah.
Why is that perspective so important?
I can't get over how important it is to learn how to live each day unto itself. I remember reading a book about living in day-tight compartments. If we borrow trouble from the past, it just adds to what's going on in the present. And if we worry about, like, what happens if I don't get over this? Well, that could possibly take place, but it's not happening today. Today, I got a job to do and some things I need to take care of. I'm not going to let worry destroy my life, and I'm not going to be defined by my physical situation. You can't let that happen.
I love the promise that His mercies are new.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
And the way you sum up in the book, you say that there's six words of wisdom for worriers. This is good. You will love this. Worry about nothing and pray about everything.
Yeah, that's Philippians where he says, you know, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. If you do that, so what are you worried about?
Yeah.
You know, God understands and he knows. Mm-hmm. Now, do we ever have fleeting moments of worry? We might like to clean that up and say it's concern. Yeah, we do. It's not wrong to have those moments, but what it is wrong to do is to live in those moments.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, it'll ruin your life.
Yeah. One of the great lines in that hymn, Amazing Grace, that John Newton wrote, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's interesting that the doubts and the snares are in the same hymn about grace. How do we find the grace of God in the midst of those?
You know, I remember years ago, somebody said about being a preacher, God can never greatly use a man until he crushes him.
Wow.
And I actually prayed that day, Lord, I want to be greatly used, but I don't want to be crushed. And I didn't hear any verbal answer from the Lord, but I knew in my heart that I'd asked something that wasn't possible. If you just stop and think about it, you know a lot of Christian people, guys that God is using, I don't know any of them that haven't had a tough time sometime in their life. And I think it's important when people listen to you as you speak and teach that they know that you've been crushed.
Yeah.
When people know you've been through something, mm-hmm. they listen to you.
Yeah.
The Bible says we comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. And if we've never been through anything, we have really been robbed of one of the tools God gives us mm-hmm. to strengthen other people. I got a letter from a lady about a month ago. She said, I just found out I'm going to have to walk with a cane for the rest of my life, and I've been crying and complaining about it. Then I saw you come across the platform with your walker, and I felt so embarrassed, and I said, Lord, never again.
Wow.
So that's what happens.
You talk in the book about the gift of perseverance. Most people don't think of perseverance as a gift.
I would probably use the word determination, perseverance, staying with it. You know, we always quit too soon.
Yeah.
There's a statistic that when you think you have exercised to the limit of your ability to exercise, you still have 60% left.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't tested that. But the issue there in the physical realm is the same in the spiritual realm. We say, Lord, we can't take any more. Well, yes, you can. Hmm. You can bear up under a lot more than you think you can with the strength of God. And I think here I've been doing this now for 55 years. I've been preaching. I never think about not doing it. People keep asking me, when are you going to quit? I don't think about that. I think about what we're teaching next week and how we go forward and teach that. And God has given me a great sense of determination. You know, if you're in front of people like we are, and it's live on the internet, every week you face a challenge. What if I can't do this? Mm-hmm. What if I don't have the energy to do this?
Yeah.
But every day you go forward to do what God has called you to do. You put your foot in the water, mm-hmm. and God shows you that he's strong enough. And I was just telling the guys yesterday, we have three services at Shadow Mountain, one on Saturday night at 5 o'clock, one at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and one at 10:45.
That's a lot.
So three services within a 24-hour period.
And you preach all of them.
I preach all of them. Mm. And you would think that by the time I got to the third service, I would be dead meat.
Yes.
The interesting thing is when I get to the third service, I feel greater strength than I felt in either of the first two. And I don't understand it because there's no way to understand it. It's a God thing.
Wow.
He strengthens you to do what you determined to do in response of obedience. And that's wonderful.
There's something you say that's kind of tucked into that. Almost as, what does God expect from us in adversity? Because you could have just sat back and said, you know what, I'm tired, I'm not ready. We have a role too, don't we,
yeah.
in stepping into what God
right.
has called us.
You know, I think I alluded to it earlier. When I was in the hospital, it suddenly dawned on me that the one thing God wanted me to be in that hospital was a man of God.
Mm.
So I talked to some of the nurses about their faith. I gave copies away of books that I had just written. I had a whole little stack of stuff there I was giving out to everybody. I wanted to be a man of God in the midst of that. What does God expect of us?
Yeah.
He expects us to stay strong in the midst of adversity and not be affected by it so that we lose our testimony to the watching world. What have you got to offer people if the only thing you can do is show them that life is good and you can manage that?
Yeah.
When life isn't so good, you got to be able to manage that, and by the grace of God, you can do it. His grace is sufficient for every day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Jeremiah. Stay tuned as we continue to discuss what it means for us to keep the faith. We'll be right back.
Find more wisdom and guidance in Keep the Faith, How to Stand Strong in a World Turned Upside Down, new from Dr. Jeremiah. As you have heard from Dr. Jeremiah today, we don't get to choose what happens to us, but we do get to choose how we respond to difficult times. In his new book, Dr. Jeremiah explains how God can help you persevere through adversity and help you overcome discouragement, worry, fear, and doubt. Request your copy of Keep the Faith, new from Dr. Jeremiah, when you give a gift of any amount in support of Turning Point today. Now, let's return to more of the discussion with Dr. Jeremiah and Sheila Walsh.
What about the idea that you can almost barter with God? I'll do this for you if you do that for me.
Well, you can do it. It doesn't work.
God doesn't
bargain with us. We can make promises, and that's good. And the foxhole Christianity you're talking about is very popular. Get me out of this hospital bed, and I will serve you the rest of my life. One of the things I know that God knows is that we don't have very good memories, and we don't remember what we say, and we don't often do what we say we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So take God at His word. You can make commitments to Him. You can make a vow before the Lord, but make sure you keep your vow.
Yeah. One of the things I found really helpful in this book, you had 5 principles about having fortitude during times of trouble. So principle number 1 is this. I found this fascinating. Disruptive moments are often divine appointments.
Yeah, that's true. Sheila, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to be the interviewer for a minute. Have you learned more through your good times or your bad times?
Bad times.
Absolutely. I don't know anybody that would say otherwise.
Yeah.
Prosperity is not a good teacher.
No.
But adversity is a great teacher.
Yeah.
I've learned so much when I had cancer. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much with the other issues I've had in my life. I don't like them. Here's the deal. I don't even get to vote on them. You know, they come and God sends them. I like to say a little prayer, Lord, help me to understand and learn what you want me to learn so I don't have to have a refresher course. But you have to understand that when adversity comes, it's not an enemy.
Yeah.
God is up to something. He may show you later on and He may not, but He's up to something.
Your principle number 2 is this, progress without pain is usually not possible.
No, you know, that's true in the sports world too.
Yeah.
No gain without pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to train your muscles with muscle memory, which is done in a gym where nobody's cheering and behind closed doors, and you're working hard. And I find myself even doing that now. One of the things my doctor told me was make sure you stay strong in your upper body, get a trainer and keep working. And is that fun? No. Do I want to do that? No. But you can't let your body tell you what to do.
The wisdom that you have gleaned and are gleaning from this season is just, it's priceless. Let me get to principle number 3. The promise of God is the provision of grace.
Right.
So that's what we can count on.
What that means really to me is God hasn't promised us the full healing of our disease or the full answer to our question. Mm. But He's promised, as He did to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And it is.
Yeah.
Day by day. Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But His grace is sufficient for every day.
Yeah. Principle number 4. Disruptive moments produce dynamic growth. I believe you're seeing and will continue to see that in your preaching and writing and teaching, that the growth that occurs in those painful places is significant.
Well, I've heard your stories, Sheila, so I know that you believe that personally too. And so many of the people that I know who are doing what I do, they have their stories and the things that have happened to them and how God used the hard places to prepare them for the good places.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of us, we want the one without the other. But as in that chapter you're quoting, there is no such thing. At least if it is, I've not seen it. It's a very rare thing.
Mm. Final principle, principle 5. What we receive from disruptive moments, interesting, depends on how we respond.
We don't get to choose the things that happen to us.
Mm.
We do get to choose how we respond to the things that happen to us.
Yes.
And that's a lesson that gets seared into your soul when you go through something like this. You know, I've had people ask me, we started this interview. Well, why did this happen? How did it happen? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've talked to some of the smartest doctors in Southern California. They don't know. They don't even know very much about this disease or what causes it or how it happens. Wow. I can't do anything about that. But what I can do is say, okay, I got this thing and I'm going to deal with it the best I know how every day with all my heart, getting better as I can, doing what they tell me to do, and stay out of the weeds of why did it happen and who's after me and is God upset with me or is the devil mad at me? You know, all that stuff that people go through. Look, I got a disease. I got to get up tomorrow and get my clothes on and go face it.
There's not a single person on this planet who loves you and has been blessed and touched by your ministry who would have wished this upon you. But I believe there's not a single one of us who will not be touched by how you have responded in this situation and the way you've shown us a shining example of, you know what, you can keep the faith even in the most difficult moments. Dr. Jeremiah, on behalf of your worldwide family, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching this special episode of Turning Point. We pray you were encouraged by today's program. Your prayers and financial support make this program possible, as Turning Point is fully supported by people like you. And if you give today, Dr. Jeremiah will thank you by sending, in appreciation, his new book, Keep the Faith: How to Stand Strong in a World Turned Upside Down. Thank you for your continued support as we deliver the unchanging Word of God to an ever-changing world.
If you would like to experience the hope that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way, Dr. Jeremiah would like to send you two resources. The first is a booklet called Your Greatest Turning Point, which will help you begin your relationship with Christ. And the second is our monthly devotional magazine, Turning Points, to give you encouragement and inspiration throughout the year. These resources are yours completely free when you contact Turning Point today.
In addition, you can order Dr. Jeremiah's legacy work, the Jeremiah Study Bible, a beloved study Bible and the culmination of Dr. Jeremiah's decades of teaching, helping you to answer, what does the Bible say? What does it mean? And what does it mean for me? Available in multiple translations and formats, there is a Jeremiah Study Bible for everyone. Also available for children, Dr. Jeremiah's Airship Genesis Kids Study Bible. Order yours today. Next time on Turning Point.
You don't need any other form of coverage. You got the best form of coverage there ever was produced, and that's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't stop working once you become a Christian. Amen?
Thank you for being with us today. Join Dr. Jeremiah next time for his series, 10 Questions Christians Are Asking, here on Turning Point. Connect with Turning Point on the go, anytime, anywhere. Download the Turning Point app to listen to Turning Point Radio, watch Turning Point Television, read daily devotionals, and more. Plus, for the young ones in your life, the Airship Genesis Pathway to Jesus mobile game, an engaging narrative puzzle adventure game that explores the life of Jesus. Available now on the App Store.